So just a little weather check-in, internal weather check-in. Are you here, here, or here? See? A few, like, not so sure. Oh, yeah. All right. So I just want to say, if you like to know, this is probably going to be just about an hour that we spend together in this closing circle. Just wanted to say a few words about going home. Many of you have heard many closing talks, so you kind of know what's about to come. And at the same time, I don't know, I don't ever really tire of them because it is a transition. It is a transition going home, and it's, you know, sometimes it can be just like smooth as like whipped cream, you know? And other times it can be bumpy. You know, just bumpy. I mean, I've, you know, been in, you know, what I thought a very, you know, and it was very open space, and, you know, driven home in the winter, and, you know, my car skidded on the ice, you know, and, you know, we're sensitive, so it's important to attune to that sensitivity of your being, as all of you, I think, have been, you know, in your practice this weekend, and I just encourage you to continue attuning to your being. I mean, things are obviously going to speed up as soon as you probably walk out this door. You know, we'll if you're staying for lunch, there'll be an opportunity to have conversation. You know, for some that's very welcome. For others, that can be overwhelming. You know, just like the small groups, for some they're very enlivening, you know, engaging and nourishing. And for others, sometimes it can be just overwhelming, you know, taking in. So we just want to be attuned, honestly, really, to our own nervous systems. You know, how is it? You know, feeling sensitive. You know, it's really helpful, as you've heard me say over and over again, to ground in the body in the way that, you know, is accessible for you, whether it's, you know, feet on the ground, breath, just feeling the position and posture you're in, whether you're sitting or standing or moving. You know, this can be so reliable in our daily lives, and I think it's underrated because we can get attached to the, you know, sometimes the depth of sitting or the intensity of, you know, a retreat, or, you know, the fruits that come from that. But daily practice has a wide range of possibility, you know, and one is just, you know, pick something you do regularly and just make the intention to be mindful with it. And, you know, pick something that's easy. I mean, a lot of times I would hear talks about brushing your teeth. So I would inevitably, you know, try to be mindful and I was brushing my teeth. You know, forget it. It just didn't happen, you know. It's like, okay. Well, you know, I have an office that's on the second floor. So it's just kind of ingrained in this system that going up the stairs, it's like dropping into the sensation of step, step, step. And it's pretty much like rooted in there. It just sort of like it's rooted in there like brushing one's teeth. It's just that it's a different form that allows mindfulness to be present. So don't underestimate that. And if you're driving, I think it's really helpful to, you know, feel your hands on the wheel and, you know, stay connected with your body. That's very helpful in making the transition. You know, the traffic could be a lot of simulation. Yeah. What else? And, you know, for some, a sitting practice every day, there's many of you that have that in your daily routine, which is wonderful. It supports the continuation of developing mindfulness. That's really helpful. If that's difficult for you, one, you could try it shorter. It doesn't have to be a half an hour. It doesn't have to be 40 minutes. It could be 5 minutes or 10 minutes. oftentimes for most of us, the hardest part about that is getting there. It's like, you know, my favorite one is, okay, I'm just going to take care of these few emails I need to do, and then I'll sit. And, you know, the few emails can turn into a longer period of time. And then before I know it, I've got to get ready for that appointment. So it does take a cultivation. And sometimes if there's a space in your house, it doesn't have to be like a sacred space, you know. Honestly, for me, it's a reclining chair. There's just something about that. You push the button and the feet goes up and, you know, and it's near a window. And so it's just I can take in nature. And, you know, even if it's 10 minutes, you set a little timer for yourself. And, you know, don't worry about the level of concentration. It's just really, if you think about it, just that act of stopping, it's so radical, isn't it, in the world we live in? I mean, maybe it isn't for some of you, but it seems to me that it's such a radical thing. So that, you know, the fact that you've gotten yourself there, you're closing your eyes, and you have a few moments of connecting with the breath, great. You know, well done. You know, it really supports the continuity of waking up in the mind and heart. The other time that can be really helpful is nighttime and waking up in the morning. So just aware that there's different lives here. Some of you have parents of young people, or you may have early morning schedules, or maybe when you wake up in the morning, you know, it's not your most favorite time or easy time. Or going, we've talked about this retreat, going to sleep at night. Sometimes for some people can be really stressful if sleep is a struggle for you. It's really a great time to do some loving kindness for yourself. You know, laying in bed, you know, turning out the light, just feeling the sense of the support underneath you, the contact with the sheets. You know, it doesn't have to be like big, you know, may I be. You know, it just be like, it's just like, I'm here, I care. It's okay, you know. Worthy of this loving kindness, worthy of this easeful allowing for this transition of day into night. And if you do have challenges with sleep, and I certainly don't want to knock any of your strategies or things that you do that help with that, you know, the toolbox is important. And maybe you add to that toolbox some loving kindness practice. You know, for some people, if they're struggling with sleep, they like to get up and move. So you could do some walking meditation. I have a dear friend who's been a Dharma teacher for 40 years, and sleep is hard for her. And she just gets up and does walking meditation, little metta walking. You know, if you're sleeping next to someone, you know, yeah, you maybe want to prepare them so they're not worried about you. Same with waking up in the morning, even if it's just a few minutes laying there. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, alive, you know, consciousness, like still alive, you know, to even open to the wonder of that. Which includes, you know, a lot of us wake up with anxiety in the morning. So can we open to that? Just like, you know, change the word. It doesn't have to be anxiety. It could be like flutter, you know. It might even not have a label, just, there it is. You know, I see you. It's okay. And one really helpful thing with that, a friend of mine said once, we were talking about anxiety, and she said, well, everybody wakes up with anxiety in the morning. And I just find that is so reassuring. You know, when you remember that I'm not alone with whatever I'm struggling with, it's a little bit easier, isn't it? It's a little bit, you know, okay, it's all right. Just right here, little kindness for oneself. Maybe for the others in the house, in the home. Now that can be a great practice. How often is it when we're in, you know, relationship living with another that we forget, like they have their own experience? It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, so often that sense of I is like, they're there for me. they're an object of my experience. Well, they have their own world. And it's really lovely to remember that sometimes. It's just, I do that, you know, I've been with Judith, my wife, for 44 years, and sometimes it's just like this wake up, like, just like act like you don't know her, you know, and just be curious and interested. It really helps, you know, it helps cohabiting, you know. Yeah, and then maybe, you know, who knows, then the heart might be open enough, like, you know, may all beings be safe and protected, even though we know that isn't the truth in life, that all beings aren't safe and protected in this world, hardly. But we can still offer that wish, you know, that wish of well-being. So these are really quite simple practices. They don't have to take a lot of time, and you can integrate them. You know, you can integrate them when you're driving, when you're at a stop sign, you know, or, you know, if you're at work, let's say, and you're having some conflict with your workmates or someone that has power over you, you know, in your work, in your profession or your work site. You know, that can be sometimes an opportunity to just like, okay, just certainly offer loving kindness for yourself if it's a stressful situation. And then sometimes there's energy in the heart to just, okay, like this person definitely suffering if they're behaving this way. You know, sometimes just that notation doesn't have to be arrogant. It's just recognizing the truth. And in saying that, this certainly isn't a practice that we suddenly don't have any boundaries in our lives, or we don't make skillful choices sometimes in relationship in terms of how we care for ourselves. And as I was saying last night, our associations. You know, that sometimes we need to step back from someone, you know, or situation. And respecting that, respecting one's limits there, and attuning to that. That takes courage too. Yeah, so on that note, another reminder about others in our lives. I know we all know this, but just a reminder, they haven't been on retreat. So, you know, you may have like so much you want to share and so these beautiful insights or, and you know, they say like, how was your retreat? You're like, wow. Start, and the next thing you know, they're kind of distracted, they're looking at their phone, they get up and go someplace else. It's like, what? It's like just a little reminder, okay, they haven't been on retreat. And maybe they have been on retreat and they're still doing that. You know, it's okay. It's like, can we be forgiving? Can we be wise and understand that, you know, we don't have a corner in the market of serenity here by any stretch of the imagination. But we do have some sensitivity being on retreat. So, you know, to take care around that. And honestly, like, it's helpful to not also have preconceived ideas. I mean, I've gone into supermarkets after retreat. It was fine. You know, I've gone to, went to a party once, you know, and then other times it's like, I just need that space, you know? So just listen to your own body, listen to your nervous system. And if you're able to, take it easy later today. Some of us are going into full family life. Maybe you're going to work tomorrow. You know, just if there's any way you can just even get some fresh air, take a few minutes to sit. You know, remember your goodness. And we can also remember the goodness of the other, even if they're disappointing us in the moment. That leads me to I find a very beautiful practice in this tradition. It's the forgiveness practice. And it is offered at the end of every retreat or formal gathering. And it's an invitation to let go, I think. That's how I relate to it. It's an invitation to let go. of whatever is maybe gnawing at our hearts. Like, so for instance, let me give you an example. So last night, after I named, you know, artists and healthcare workers, and, you know, I went to my room and was like, oh, I'm sure there's people in this room that I didn't name, like what you put on your paper in terms of what you do. And I really sincerely mean this. I ask your forgiveness because you are so included in that. And that's sincere. Like, the sincere part is asking your forgiveness, because it gnawed at my heart, if that makes sense. So asking for forgiveness is a two-way deal, really. It's ultimately to free our own hearts. It's really to recognize we do the best we can, and sometimes, you know, sometimes it doesn't land well. No. Or sometimes we realize later something. Or sometimes someone says, hey, you know, when you said this, that. It's like, okay, can I hear that? So in the formal tradition, if it's okay with you, Bibiana, I'll speak for you as well, that that we as holders of this container of retreat, that we ask your forgiveness if there's any way that through what we have said or not said or done or not done, we wholeheartedly ask for your forgiveness. And so too, in the very unlikely chance that you have said or done something that has, knowingly or unknowingly, that has caused us any harm, we offer wholeheartedly our forgiveness. And what can also happen on retreat, just as the example that I gave, is sometimes memories can come up where we actually experience regret or remorse. That can be such a beautiful experience, because, you know, it's the heart waking up to a refined sense of understanding and relationship and care. So you might notice that sometimes that can veer into guilt. I could do a whole talk about guilt. In the teachings in this tradition around guilt, is that guilt tends to be it sort of turns on itself. It's more self-identified. Another way to say it, it's a dead end. You know, it doesn't free the mind. So we can just notice if it's arising, but remorse is different, or regret is different. It's like it's holding in the heart. I see the conditions that were in my mind at that time, you know, and I offer myself forgiveness. And who knows, it may be something that's more current for you and you have in your intention. I'm actually going to speak with that person. Or maybe it's something like, you know, I've had on retreats things come up like from high school, just a memory. It's like, oh, you know, I didn't speak up at that time when this person was being made fun of. And it came back to me like as if it was like right there. You know, the heart was just full of regret. And this was many years ago. And there was it happened to be a high school reunion that I went to, and I just went up to that person and it was like, I'm so sorry when that was happening. I didn't speak up. No, that wasn't okay. And they were kind of like, oh. I'm not sure I really remember it. You know, that didn't matter. You know, it cleared the heart. So if that's there too, let's also undertake this practice now of that if there's any ways that I have harmed myself here on this retreat, knowingly or unknowingly, I offer myself forgiveness. I offer myself forgiveness. This being human is a guest house. Ain't no way around it. And if I have harmed another here on this retreat, you can say this inside yourself right now. If I've harmed another, knowingly or unknowingly, or in my life, that has arisen. I'm not asking you to do, you know, a big, you know, inventory right now. It's more like if it's arisen while you've been on the retreat. See if you can lean into forgiving yourself. So, you know, by nature of being human. We will fall down 7 times and hopefully get up 8. This is the condition of our human experience. So may all be well in our hearts.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.